Yo, 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 what it do, everybody? Welcome back to the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. Once again, it is the fearsome duo of your boy, Herms, joined as always by my good friend, Tyler O, who did an excellent, excellent job filling in for me while I was gone on my adventures at the Panini Senior Bowl down in Mobile, Alabama, checking out these incoming prospects and stuff. Tyler, how are you doing? How has it been going?
Well, first of all, Herms, I'm thrilled to have you back. Anybody who listens to podcasts needs to know how hard it is to drive and actually host the show. I got the easy role here. I just sit back, I wait for Herms to ask me a question, I offer my opinion, and I walk away. And Herms is keeping it rolling, making sure everything stays clean, making sure everything flows. It's hard to be you, Herms, so I'm glad you're back in that regard. Other than that, I'm doing well, man. Gearing up for the Super Bowl over here. It's dynasty season. It's prospect season. I'm ready to talk some running backs.
Absolutely. Yes, the running back conversation is going to be the driving force behind today's narrative in this episode, much like we did a few weeks ago before all of the travel and whatnot with the quarterback position. We're going to talk about some guys that have some interesting things going for them headed into 2026. And the fun thing about now is that we have the added benefit of there being the head coaching hires. We have a lot more information to go off of, so many interesting things to talk about, and some key names that dynasty managers everywhere have to be thinking about. So we can start our conversation about these running backs with somebody that you seem to be pretty excited about, and for good reason. Breece Hall, formerly, he could re-sign with the New York Jets, but he is slated to be a free agent this offseason. His future is still pretty up in the air, but despite the Jets not being, you know, super good, he has been pretty productive for fantasy purposes. And everybody knows, just anecdotally speaking, watching him out there on the football field, he's very good at what he does. I am curious to hear from you where you have Breece Hall ranked within your dynasty rankings, and what some of your sort of expectations are, or if there are any preferred landing spots that you may have in mind if he chooses to go elsewhere in free agency.
Yeah, well, my expectation is that 2026 is better than 2025 for Breece Hall, right? I think that's the baseline. Let's just start there. It's got to get better, okay? The quarterback play, the offense, regardless if he's a Jet or not, I'm just betting that it's going to be a better situation. Now, the Jets could easily tag him, kind of throwing a little cold water to the hype. But currently, Breece Hall sits as my RB10 on the year right now. I want to be aggressive on him. I'm interested here in a sec to hear where he's ranked on Keep Trade Cut. But he's a guy that I would be more than happy to go out and try to acquire, try to get him on my team, as I do believe him to be a top six, top eight talent in the NFL. It's just a really bad situation. Listen, you know, he had a tough rookie year with an injury, but outside of that, he's finished RB4, RB16, RB18. And the one thing that sticks out to me, I think, this past year is Breece Hall's traditionally like an 80-target running back, right? He's been used in the pass game. We know he's a great pass catcher. We know he has that home run ability. And just the way that the Jets offense was operating with the quarterbacks that were playing there, I think you saw about, you know, not a little more than half that. I think it was just around that 50 mark. Forgive me, I don't have the numbers up in front of me, but it was just one of those years where we had such a low target share and such a low target count that I don't think it's going to stay around there going forward. Is whether he is a Jet next year or he's on another team, he's going to find himself in a situation where they're going to want to utilize him in the pass game more than he was last year. So I view him as a, and maybe not top tier talent, but kind of that next tier talent in the NFL. You know, I'm not crazy. I'm not going to put him up there with Bijan and Gibbs, but I think in that next tier, he's there in terms of talent. He's not too old. He's been pretty sturdy these last couple of years. So for me, RB10, I want to be ahead of market. Am I ahead of market, Herms?
I have great news. You are slightly ahead of market. According to our friends over at Keep Trade Cut, they currently have Breece Hall valued as the RB12, and something that I'm going to be sprinkling in throughout the episode, I also took I took the time to check out the nearest rookie pick value that could be, you know, sent for these players according to their rankings as well. Breece Hall could be acquired per Keep Trade Cut for a mid-2027 first round pick. That's pretty good, especially for the production that we're going to get. And quickly, to speak to your point from earlier, only 48 targets as a receiver last year after 76 in 2024 and 95 in 2023. So, yeah, I mean, you know, as if even a small part of that comes back, it could be very exciting.
Yeah, man. I'm actively acquiring, I should say, Breece Hall going forward here. I think he's a guy that if people are a little soured on him, maybe they're afraid he doesn't end up in a good situation, goes back to the Jets, they want to be out. I want to buy the talent. In terms of landing spots, you know, obviously I don't want to, probably more than likely betting favorites as he gets like tagged or re-signed with the Jets. Yeah. Unfortunately, probably going to be tagged because I know they want him to come back. But let's just go over. I mean, everyone's favorite's going to be the Chiefs. Let's just get that out of the way. Everyone was pining for the trade in the middle of the season. It didn't happen. But a couple of the teams I think could be interesting here. I think the New Orleans Saints could be an interesting pick. Like, they clearly have a gap there. Kamara isn't getting any younger. Kellen Moore's offense is looking like pretty good. So that could be an interesting one for me as well. Another maybe kind of slightly off the wall pick was Chicago Bears. Is another one that I think could possibly happen. They got some room there. Kyle Manung guy, I mean, I respect the guy, but I think he's a backup. I don't think he's that great. I think he's a solid, maybe change of pace backup, early down bruiser. He's not a feature back. And Swift, I think he showed to be good, but Breece is seriously an upgrade. So if I want to go more of like, hey, let's go off the wall. Let's not go with an obvious one. I think the Bears and the Saints would kind of fit the bill. I think everyone's going to be, you know, wanting him to go to the Chiefs.
Yeah, definitely so. You know, I think whatever running back ends up there is going to be a favorite no matter what. Hopefully it is Breece Hall. That would be super fun for all of our purposes, both real life and for fantasy. Stay tuned throughout the rest of the offseason for updates as far as that goes. But we can now get into our second running back, a guy that has long been one of the most dominant in all of fantasy football when he's been healthy, and that is Christian McCaffrey, who bounced back this past season, had a tremendous year, especially as a receiver, the top running back in all of fantasy. But there are some concerns with the fact that, you know, as I alluded to, he's had some injury issues not too far in the past. And also, he's 30. And if you look at the history of the position of running back in the NFL, it typically doesn't go better for you the older that you get. So I am curious to see how much you weigh his previous track record versus how much is kind of left in the tank and how that shakes out in your ultimate dynasty ranking of McCaffrey.
So I'm always going to be aggressive on the old elites, right? That's been a dynasty strategy that I've been holding on to for many years, and it's paid off extremely well. I understand the hesitation with players as they age. I understand the hesitation with running backs as they, you know, start to be 27, 28. But what I don't necessarily care about is that age if they're elite running backs and their production is not slipping. Derrick Henry. People have been out on Henry since he turned 28. The dude is 32. He just had another top 10 season, man. Mm-hmm. Like, it is insane to me that people are continuing to fade elite talent who is showing you that, hey, they're not dropping. They're not falling off. They're looking good on the field. Unless the production dips, I'm not going to be out on these guys, Herms. It's just a ridiculous concept. I have some dynasty leagues where I put together some championships back to back. And I was buying Derrick Henry 4 seasons ago for one first-round pick because somebody wanted to be out on him because he was 28 years old or he was 29 years old. Like, if these players, especially these elite players, are not dipping their production or not showing their age, don't assume it's going to happen, man. I know he's got some injury issues. I get it. But here's the thing about Christian McCaffrey. To me, he's the kind of player that wins you your season. Ask almost anybody who had CMC on their league this year. They probably won or went to the playoffs. They did very well. He is a difference maker at the position. He is one of those players that can win you weeks. He won me weeks. He won me championships. He's put up 30 burgers down the stretch, man. I think he finished the season in week 16 and 17 with like 30 points and like 28 points in half PPR. So to me, he's just a player that I think if you're in a startup and you're building any type of win now team, he's a must have asset. I'm probably going to be a little high. Maybe not. We'll see. I've met RB11. I want to stay aggressive on CMC. I totally get not taking him if you're in a rebuild. I totally get if you're building a younger team. But RB11 for me at CMC, I think people are a little bit afraid of the age and the use. But unless he shows the wear and tear, I'm staying in, man.
Well, the good news is that Keep Trade Cut agrees with you. They also have Christian McCaffrey as the RB11, also worth a mid-2027 first in equivalent trade value, as is Breece Hall, as we talked about before. One thing I did kind of want to bring up with McCaffrey, you know, to echo your point, like, yeah, like in terms of just his production, it's not really going anywhere, at least in terms of the fact that he put up monster receiving yards. One of the things that I did, however, recently for an article last month was kind of look back at the season and do a sort of like full year usage report, kind of like those weekly ones that I did in season. And there were a few areas in which McCaffrey did kind of take a step back in terms of like his avoided tackle rate or like explosive run rate and things like that. But then the more I like looked into it, I came down to the fact that his adjusted line yards per attempt ranked 22nd among the 33 running backs who carried the ball at least 150 times last year. And like, I'm not really going to put so much of that on him if the blocking in front of him simply wasn't as good and they were distributing the work to him in other facets of the game, then all you're really doing is just nitpicking at that point. So I'm completely with you when it comes to guys like Christian McCaffrey. You just kind of have to stick by it. I personally have him as my RB16, but only because of the fact that he's just like, you know, a little bit older. There are some guys that I'm a little excited about, whatever, but I am definitely never going to fade him super, super far beyond that, just because like he's an absolute dog. Everybody knows what he is and what we are going to get out of him. I'm hoping that as we get further into the future, we can see similar types of production from Trevion Henderson, the talented young running back from the New England Patriots, who had a stellar season last year after a bit of a rocky start in terms of getting out on the field. But once he got out there, very productive. There's a lot to go into with this Patriots backfield, though. So before I get any further, I would really just like to hand it over to you and hear what you have to say about Trevion Henderson, because I feel like he's going to be a very interesting name to talk about this entire offseason.
I love Trevion Henderson. I have to start there. He was one of my favorite running backs in this class. I was a little bit ahead of the consensus. I wanted to keep him, drafted him everywhere. I will say, like, as the season approached last year, he really got steamed up after a couple big runs in the preseason, and his price was a little high for me. But in Dynasty, he was a guy I was all over. He was one of my favorite Devy players in some of the Devy leagues that I played in. So love Trevion Henderson. But that said, we do have to look at the situation that he's in, and more so the window of the situation he's in. My concern here is Ramondre Stevenson has looked good, and he's not going anywhere. He is signed to the Patriots, I think, until 2028. All right. It doesn't cost a ton of money. It doesn't, like, basically what I'm trying to say here is it doesn't make sense for the Patriots to think about cutting or moving Ramondre. First of all, running backs get hurt. Okay. You don't want to just get rid of a good running back because one is better, you perceive one to be better. It's good to have two healthy running backs. So, yeah. In cutting him doesn't make sense, trading him doesn't make sense. At least in my opinion, I think Ramondre Stevenson and Henderson are going to be a two-headed monster, let's say, for the next two, probably maybe even three seasons. And if that's the case, I do not see him kind of getting like a Gibbs workload and kind of taking over the Montgomery side of things like we see on the Lions, to kind of compare the two a little bit. Not to say Henderson is as good as Gibbs, but I think he's kind of like a Gibbs light. That's why I wanted to bring that up. So I have Trevion Henderson at RB14. Feels really good, just right there at the fringe, like the high end RB2, right outside the RB1. I believe the talent is probably top 10, but I gotta be realistic. I gotta be pragmatic and tell myself, like, hey, the Patriots, they like Stevenson. They've signed Stevenson. It doesn't make sense for them to move on from him. He's going to continue to be a thorn in Henderson's side, at least from a fantasy standpoint. So I don't want to be too aggressive on a guy that I don't believe is going to be a factor to be getting 20 touches a game, right? When you take a running back in the top 10, let's say, you want them to get 20 touches a game. And that's basically how you should operate. And I just don't think Henderson's going to be a 20 touch guy as long as Ramondre Stevenson is there. So RB14, I know I got to be a little lower than consensus. Where are we at, Herms?
Yeah, so when it comes to Hendo, the Keep Trade Cut Marketplace is very enthusiastic. They have him as the RB7 in the ballpark of, like, you got to be sending early first-round picks up or down a year, 26, 27, a lot of stuff like that. That's the type of capital you have to be shelling out to acquire this guy. And I think that, like, it, this is something that I had spoken a little bit about with our friend Brian Rockwood from Fantasy Now Plus when I had him on the podcast however long ago. And the Ramondre Stevenson factor is so huge, and it's one of the reasons that I had to kind of reevaluate this a little bit myself and ultimately move up Ramondre Stevenson in my rankings. I still haven't quite figured out where to put Henderson, though, because I currently still have him in number 8. But the more I keep thinking about it and the more I hear your perspective on it, I do feel like I am going to have to move him down, because you're right. With that backfield being as crowded as it is, are we basically just like paying for the absolute present ceiling? That's not something that is a particularly smart thing to do in Dynasty or even any sort of format of fantasy football. And if you don't already have Hendo, I really don't want to be going out and spending either. A lot of stuff to consider there, though. Very glad we got to dig into that. But unfortunately, we have to take a quick commercial break before we get to the rest of our analysis of the Dynasty running back landscape. Don't go anywhere, folks. This is the Crossing Routes Podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy.
Yo, 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 how's it hanging? C.H. Herms from FTN's Crossing Routes Podcast here to ask you a question. Have you wanted to get in on some NFL action, but don't live in a state that has a sports book? Well, we have great news. Our newest partner, Novig, is America's number one sports prediction market, offering better odds than sports books in over 35 states. If you're looking to tail some of our plays for the NFL playoffs and all sorts of other sports, new players on Novig can get a free month of an FTN GOAT subscription when they sign up and use promo code FTN with their first purchase. Plus, you'll get 50% off your first purchase up to $25 in Novig cash. All you gotta do is download the Novig app, enter code FTN before making your first purchase of $50 or less, and the discount will automatically apply. Also, your promo code for that free month of an FTN GOAT tier will be in your email inbox before you know it. What a deal! We look forward to having you play on Novig with us this year. Be sure to check it out and use that promo code FTN.
Welcome back to the Crossing Routes Podcast. It's your boy Herms. It's your boy Tyler Rowe. And we are still going through our big discussion about the running back landscape in the NFL. What to make of things from a bit of a real life standpoint, a bit of a dynasty standpoint, and all things in between. And a lot of what we're going to be discussing in this episode are, you know, players that you had marked down as particularly interesting. I went through and I tried to find large disparities between some of my rankings and some of Keep Trade Cut, but honestly, I didn't really find that many that were like notable enough to have at length discussions about. But there is one thing that kind of popped out, and it occurred to me while we were talking about the Ramondre Stevenson thing and just looking at like how far low he is valued, despite the fact that he has like a guaranteed role. We're pretty like, we know what he is, but there are some players with like very ambiguous outlooks in front of them that haven't really done a ton from an NFL perspective that are ranked ahead of him. And my favorite example of this that honestly kind of drives me nuts is Trey Benson of the Arizona Cardinals sitting at RB30. It's not that expensive. I do understand that. But at the same time, we have to ask ourselves this question. What have we seen this man do on an NFL football field that suggests he is worth being an RB3? He has carried the ball 10 times or more, 3 times throughout his entire career. He has been injured a lot. It has been an issue for sure. But I can't get behind, even it's not the most expensive thing in the world, but I can't get behind just ballooning him for this possibility that he ends up being the Cardinals guy. And you look at that situation, now they have the entirely new regime with head coach Mike LaFleur coming in. He's not going to be beholden to anybody that was held over from this Jonathan Gannon era. And I would kind of expect them to be attacking the running back position this offseason, either through the draft and free agency anyway, because of James Conner's getting old. He has his own injury issues. The depth behind all those guys that we saw for the better part of last year, the Michael Carters, the Bam Knights. I don't know. They need to address this position anyway. So a bit of a weird bone to pick, admittedly, but I just do think it is a little ridiculous that we have somebody like a Stevenson at 35, 5 spots lower than somebody like Trey Benson, who hasn't done much of anything. There is my soliloquy. Did any of that make any sense? And are you kind of with me on that? Just as a concept in general.
I'm absolutely with you, man. I'm not. First of all, I've never been a Trey Benson fan. I thought he was not worth the pick when he was coming out of college. Never drafted him. Never will. He's a handcuff at best, and I don't think he's that impressive of a player. I don't think he has very good vision. I don't think he's as explosive as people think he is. I mean, I just don't think he has enough in his toolkit to be a difference maker in fantasy football or the NFL. Fine backup, right? But now he can't even stay healthy. So I actually have him at RB30. This is a good conversation because I do need to move him down a bit. Just never been a fan. You know, wish him the best, right? But at the same time, Herms, I agree. I don't want to sit here and talk too much when there's nothing else to say, man. But I think you nailed it there with Benson, and I'm out.
Yeah, there's just something about him. And like looking at some of the names around him, like Bashel Tuten, RB29, I would much rather have the futures on Tuten. A bunch of things like that. We could go on down that rabbit hole for a long time, but we will cut it off there and actually talk about Bashel Tuten's teammate from this past season, who is set to be a free agent himself, much like Breece Hall, Travis Etienne. Dude, I really, really enjoyed what he brought to the table this season. I think under Liam Cohen, this Jaguars rushing attack just absolutely exploded compared to where they were before. I really like Etienne. I think we finally got to see a big workhorse season from him too, especially over the back half of the year when his workload really increased and he was like always getting like 20 touches a game. He handled it and he was efficient on all of his work, but we don't know where he's going to end up playing. Do you hope he comes back to Jacksonville? Is there another place that you think could work out a little bit better for him? And where do you kind of have him in the grand scheme of everything rank-wise?
Yeah, Etienne is a guy that I was wishy-washy on, I think, this past season. I did end up getting a lot of shares of him because I just thought people were too high on Bigsby and Tuten going in. And for me, we had seen an RB3 finish a couple years ago. So it was one of those situations where like, hey, I've seen this guy be a top 10 back. You can get him almost for free going into the season. Why not take that shot? Worked out really well for me. He finishes the RB10. I currently have him as the RB17 right now. Now that can fluctuate a lot considering he is a free agent. We don't really know where he's going to go. I like Tuten. Almost wish Tuten would get a shot there in Jacksonville and that Travis Etienne could go somewhere else. You know, there's, you know, a couple, I've already named some teams, but like the Chiefs, I think the Cowboys could use an explosive back like him. He could come back. The Bears are going to be a favorite one as well. I think the Broncos are going to need it. We'll get to that later, but I think the Broncos are going to need to add a back. This is a fun spot for me because the next couple running backs we're going to be talking about are kind of all within this range of like mid to low end RB2s in my dynasty rankings. And a lot can happen for me to kind of flip them over the next couple months and figure out where they're going to go. So for me, he's RB17. I feel pretty good about where he's at. It's not so much that I say, hey, he feels like RB17 to me. It's more like, yeah, I like the guys more than him above him and the guys below him. Yeah, you can make the argument, sure. But at the same time, it's where it's going to sit. I'm really interested to see where the market's got ETN.
You are in the same general vicinity, but they are a little bit lower at RB20, the equivalent trade value of a late 2026 first or a late 2028. First, plus, you know, a little bit to, you know, make those little numbers kind of round up a little bit, but generally speaking within that. And I have him at 15, if only because of just kind of a lot of the things that I said when I introduced the topic. He just looked really good last year. And just the possibility of him returning to a place where everything, you know, really fully clicked on this level just makes sense to me. So I think ultimately my sympathies are a lot closer to where you are at than with the market. I think they are being a little bit harsh, admittedly. But when it comes to this next player, also going to be a free agent, but if he goes back to his landing spot that he is already on, the other guy who kind of made it irritating for him last year, Zach Charbonnet, had a knee injury that is going to take him out for a pretty long period of time. So Kenneth Walker, that's his name, is somebody that is going to be very exciting headed into 2026 with that potential quote-unquote hurdle out of the way. But that is if he remains in Seattle. And that is also with the assumption that they are not going to have offensive coordinator Clint Kubiak, who is tentatively accepted the Las Vegas Raiders head coaching job. Obviously, they have to get through the Super Bowl before he can do all of that, blah, blah, blah. But there are some of those factors up in the air that make it a little bit difficult for me to pin down an exact like ranking that I'm super comfortable with. So I'd be really curious to hear your sort of crack at it, your read of the situation, and where you have him.
Yeah, so I have been RB21, but I'll say I was looking at when I updated these ranks, and it was before Charbonnet went down with the ACL injury. Knowing that, I'd probably move him a little higher, probably right under ETN at RB18-ish, because I believe in the talent. I think you and I both believe in the talent of Kenneth Walker, and hell, if you watched him in Week 18 in the playoffs, you also believe in the talent of Kenneth Walker, because beautiful things can happen when you feed this guy the ball a lot. He is explosive with the ball in his hand. He is a home run hitter. He is a great running back, but there's a lot up in the air here. If he comes back to the Seahawks, like you mentioned, we have some shifts in administration. Charbonnet's likely, I don't think Charbonnet's gotten surgery yet, so Charbonnet's likely out for at least a chunk of the season. But then he could go somewhere else. So there's just a lot on the table here. And I think, again, this is like a kind of bet on talent. I don't necessarily think this is like a Breece Hall situation where I want to be ahead of market. I think I want to be kind of at market with Kenneth Walker. But it is interesting to hear. I'm going to be interested to hear what the valuation is in terms of like pick value, because he is a guy that if I'm on a QB running back needy team, this is a pretty poor running back class outside of Jeremiah Love. And if you need running backs, you could be looking to move maybe a late first for Walker. And that's something that I would do. Like if you're sitting at 111, 112 and you're kind of hurting at running back, I would be open to shifting that for Walker. So interested to hear where Walker sits currently.
Keep Trade Cut has him as the RB18, the equivalent value late 2027 first or a mid 2028 first.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. I mean, I would move a late 2026 first for Walker and just kind of take the risk here that he'd land somewhere. I mean, he was RB22 this season. Obviously, there's a lot of weeks that wasn't great. You didn't expect that. This was his first full season, too, and for him to finish at 22 doesn't feel good, but we also saw that it was like a clear swap and clearly not the guy around the goal line. So was able to, I think, compile 1,000 yards on the season, which was good to see. I'm going to continue to bet on talent and dynasty and not situation. And Walker's a guy that I think I would be going to get.
Oh, definitely. And I think, you know, even as we're, you know, kind of talking through this and going over some of the, you know, possible complications of the whole thing, I think he is probably in an appropriate price range now that we've, you know, talked through it a little bit. But the upside, let's just assume he does come back to the Seahawks. We get the backfield basically to himself for the better part of next year. Where could you kind of see him rise in that situation before we get to our next player?
I mean, I think low end RB1, probably high end RB2 is kind of where things would land. I mean, I'm not a doctor with ACL injuries, but like just trying to like do some like back of the napkin math in my head. You know, let's say we're looking at 9 months from now. So is that March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November? I mean, he's going to be the starter presumably for half the season if he goes back to the Seahawks. And we saw what happens when he's the starter. So I would still probably want to be decently aggressive on the guy. I would go back to the well of Kenneth Walker as long as that price is not, say, top 12.
Another guy that I think has a pretty interesting outlook ahead of him is RJ Harvey, the rookie for the Denver Broncos this past season. It took a while for him to really show out. Not because of necessarily anything he did wrong, but J.K. Dobbins, through the first 10 weeks of the season prior to getting injured himself, was just really good. And Sean Payton, despite his long history of deploying committee backfields, really kind of just ran a lot of that Broncos offense through Dobbins for the early parts of the year. But toward the back half, we got to see Harvey take off a little bit. I have some concerns with the fact that he wasn't like remarkably efficient on all of his touches, but there's also some stuff with the Broncos' entire offensive ecosystem that goes into that, et cetera, et cetera. I admittedly am a little bit lower on him just because I don't know exactly what to make of him. I have him as my RB23. What about you? How excited are you for what we saw out of Harvey in his sort of starter's audition, if you want to put it that way?
Going into the season, Harvey was outside of my top 10 running backs. I kind of, you know, viewed him as like a bowling ball change of pace type running back. And then much to my surprise and much to many people's surprise, he was selected on day two by the Broncos, right? Presumed starter. A lot of hype. And they signed J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins was the starter for the season until he got hurt. I mean, that was J.K. Dobbins' role. The reason why Harvey got the work he did is because Dobbins went down. That always concerns me a little bit with running backs, is they don't earn it, that that volume is given due to an injury of somebody in front of them. It's great at the time if you have Harvey, no doubt, but it's a concern that he didn't earn it, that it was given, which I think the Denver Broncos are going to be major players in free agency. I think the Broncos are looking to add somebody else to this room. I don't believe they want to make Harvey a bell cow feature back here. I think he looked better than I was giving him credit for, yes, but also his TD rate was pretty high. It's going to fall back down to earth here. He's going to regress to the mean a little bit. He's not going to score as many touchdowns. He's not going to do as well. I have him at RB18. I'm kind of looking at that. It doesn't feel right. I probably will drop him a couple spots now that I'm here talking about it and the whole Kenneth Walker thing I just covered, but I think he deserves to be in the top 24, no doubt, because of the age, and he's, you know, looked pretty good, and the Broncos offense is ascending. But my concern with Harvey is I just do not, and I felt this way before the NFL draft, was I just do not see him as a feature bell cow back, and that was the case until the back in front of him went down, and it's that simple. So I'll probably hopefully be a little bit below market here on Harvey, but curious to see where things land.
Ultimately, I'm not that upset with where the market has him, to be honest. Keep Trade Cut has him at RB17. But what I do kind of have an issue with is the fact that his equivalent pick value is either a late 2027 first, not so bad, but also a mid-2026 first round pick. You could just move out of the middle of the first round this year and scoop RJ Harvey. I don't really know if I would be willing to do that, even with the conversation. You know, listeners, if you did not hear the conversation that you had with our good friend John Arrington last week going over some of the big prospects in this upcoming class, please definitely go check that out. But some of those names, I think I would be a little bit more excited about than RJ, or like acquiring RJ Harvey. So that's where it starts to lose me a little bit. How do you kind of feel about specifically that mid-2026 first sort of price tag for Harvey? Because it feels kind of gross to me.
Yeah, I think I would rather have the pick, and but I would use the pick to trade for like Kenneth Walker, right? Or something like that. Like, or try to like see what else I can get. I don't think I'd want to keep that pick to pick there, but I would rather have a first in terms of just having that kind of liquid value. So yeah, I would not be looking to trade a first for Harvey. I'm just not that much of a believer. So that's where I'm at.
I pretty much lockstep with you. Hopefully it works out for him, but we still have a lot left to figure out. We also, I mean, honestly, J.K. Dobbins could just come back. That's also the other thing that I don't think people talk about enough. Like, he was good. So if they feel the need, we could just be stuck in the same situation as before. But I don't think that's going to be true with our final running back that we are going to discuss in this episode. A guy that we didn't see a lot out of, but for completely different reasons than with Harvey. Cam Scadabo was just absolutely torching dudes. His run that he had early in the season before that ankle injury knocked him out for the rest of the year was phenomenal. And I think I'm pretty excited about what we're going to get out of him in this Giants offense, or at least I was pretty excited about it until we saw recently that John Harbaugh has hired Matt Nagy to be the offensive coordinator for the Giants. That's going to be kind of gross. We could probably talk a little bit about that if that's something that kind of, you know, piques your interest as well. But I honestly, just based off of the evidence that we have and the fact that Scadabo, it was like a fractured ankle or something. Like, it wasn't like ligament damage. It wasn't anything that has a particularly long timeline. Like, we at least know he's going to be healthy considerably sooner than he would be with some other ailments. But how are you kind of feeling about him? Do you believe that that stretch is what we can expect out of him? And does the whole new head coaching offensive coordinator situation impact things for you at all?
I would not say that the coaching offensive coordinator impacts things too much. I still say what you want about the offensive coordinator hire. I do believe that the head coaching hire supersedes that, as he is a very good head coach. I have Cam Scadabo at running back 19. I will mention that, you know, when he was getting his full run weeks 2 through 7, small sample size alert, but he was the RB6 during that time. So he clearly can play well, but Also, it was another one of those situations, not exactly like the Harvey Dobbins one, but he started getting more run because I believe there was an injury to Tyrone Tracy at the time. He missed some time. It kind of jolted him into a starter role, and he kind of took with it and ran. So I can't really hate on him too much for it. But for me, I think the team's going to be good. I like the Giants. I like Jackson Dart. I think Tyrone Tracy is going to be more involved than people expect. I don't know if Cam, you know, this probably isn't more of a dynasty take, but I'm not sure he's going to be ready for the season. I like the guy. I don't necessarily think he's a good talent. I think he's impressive. He's better than I give him credit for. But do I think he's like irreplaceable? I'm not going that far, man. So I don't want to invest too much in Cam Scadabo. I feel pretty good about having him at RB19. Where's the market at, Herms?
We seem to be pretty well below. They have him at RB14, worth a mid-2026 first or an early 2028 first.
I'll take the pick.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I don't know, man. I personally have him. I don't know if I mentioned it already or not, but I have him at 20. So like, we're both like excited about what we saw, but I think both of us are leaning a little bit more into the fact that it was a very limited sample size. And to your point, I think it was that week 2 game against Dallas. It was like in the red zone. Tyrone Tracy like bounced off a defender and it was like a shoulder that was pretty weird. And like that was sort of the thing that opened the door for Scadabo. Minor point, but like it's a fair thing to bring up. It was a pretty circumstantial thing. And Tyrone Tracy is not necessarily going anywhere. It's a point that we brought up a lot when we were talking about this backfield over the summer, just in terms of like redraft perspectives as well. The fact that there were both of these names there made it a little bit tricky. So there's definitely reason to be excited, but I don't know that I want to be as aggressive as the market seems to be. Just to give people some context before we get out of here, the guy directly in front of Cam Scadabo in these rankings, Kyren Williams at keep trade cut, RB13. Right behind him, Chase Brown at RB15. I feel more confident in both of them.
For sure, man. Chase Brown for sure. No questions asked.
Yeah, it's kind of curious to me. We'll have to wait and see how things end up. Hopefully we'll get a little bit more clarity on his injury timeline and how quickly he can get back and some of the different things as far as that goes. But yeah, I don't know. I'm probably not willing to pay up to that level. I don't think that other people should. I get the impression that you don't think other people should either. And that is why we have these discussions here on the Crossing Routes Podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. Another fun episode in the books. The next time we chat, it will be about the wide receiver position. Before we get out of here, though, Tyler, any parting shots, any final notes that you want to give? Now is the time.
For me, now is the time. Like I already mentioned it, right? So for a lot of folks, they're going to be wanting picks. Picks are at a premium now, but keep in mind that those picks, those picks that you have for 2026 in particular, their value is only going to rise until now, until the NFL draft. A pick is the most valuable when it is on the clock, unless you're certain about the move. Like I mentioned it, you know, it might be a little bit counterintuitive, but I mentioned about grabbing Breece Hall or grabbing Walker. I would still do those things. But in general, I would not be in a hurry to move picks. Hold on to those picks. The value is going to rise. There's no better time to trade a draft pick than when you're on the clock. I'll leave it at that.
Absolutely. You got to make sure that you time it right. You got to execute properly. And that is what happens when you listen to us here on this show. Talk to you all again soon. We will catch you next week for another episode of the Crossing Routes Podcast. Adios. Staying up and sleeping late.